Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. Today, we welcome Chrissy Crawford, founder and CEO of ArtStar. The New York-based online resource offers a curated collection of fine art available to collectors and the design trade. In this episode, Chrissy shares what prompted her to launch the online gallery and the process of navigating e-commerce pre-Shopify. We also discuss ArtStar's commitment to supporting emerging artists and their efforts to provide information and tools to design professionals to help maximize the role that art plays in their design projects. Before we dive into our conversation with Chrissy, let's take a moment to acknowledge our sponsors. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, and a few new locations coming soon, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen featuring the industry's top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. As a trade professional, you're eligible for their exclusive rewards program, Perch Premier, where you'll earn credits for every purchase of appliances, plumbing, hardware, and outdoor kitchens. This program is loaded with perks and benefits, so sign up today and tell them that you heard about Perch Premier on Design Biz Survival Guide. And now, our conversation with founder and CEO of ArtStar, Chrissy Crawford. So Chrissy, welcome to the podcast. It is so great to have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited about it.
I think it's about time, don't you think? I mean, my gosh, ArtStar has been such a huge support of Design Biz Survival Guide for the last 2 years. I know that everyone listening recognizes the name, and my attendees to Design Biz Retreat for the last 2 years definitely recognize the name. And we're all very appreciative of how much you support Design Biz Survival Guide and our program. So thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, I think it's such a good idea, especially to encourage young designers. They need mentorship. Like that's super.
For sure. All designers need that. Well, Chrissy, I'd like to start by having our guests introduce themselves, because then that allows you to tell us what you want us to know about you and not so much what the bio says. So tell us a little bit about yourself before we dig into ArtStar and what your business is all about.
Sure. So I live in New York, and I have had ArtStar for 11 years now. I have one daughter. She's about to be four. And I have two dachshunds who are 14 and 11. They're older gentlemen. And I've been in New York since 2007. So I've been here for a long time. We're long New York. It's feeling good again. Yeah. And, you know, it really is for us so key to be in New York working in art. This way we can see artists directly. We can go to studios. We can work with a lot of our clients are based in the city. So I think it's a really big asset. We definitely pay a premium to be here. But you know, we really try and take advantage of the city and everything it has to offer, within the art and design world.
Right. There's something about art and design and fashion that's very New York centric. So it's just where you need to be.
Yeah. Well, listen, LA is our fastest growing market, and True. Our second biggest market. So we're planning to do more on the West Coast as soon as possible.
Well, we would love to have you. We welcome you with open arms.
Yeah, you guys have a lot of walls out there.
We have a lot of walls, Chrissy.
Yeah, that's a good problem.
So tell us about ArtStar. Tell us about your business model and kind of the intention of your business. Let's share a little bit about that.
Sure. So we launched ArtStar in January 2011. I started working on it in 2010. And I started working on it really when the recession had fully hit. So, you know, started in 2008, but it was felt greatly in the art world around the 2009-2010 time period. So I created ArtStar with two different purposes. The first one was to create a new revenue stream for artists. So let's take images that they're already working with, put them online. I'll do all the production, all the framing, all the fulfillment. They just do the creative side. And then we send them a check monthly for their sales. And we have some artists that have been with us for over 10 years now and, wow, you know, receive checks that pay for their studio, receive checks that pay for their life, pay for their travel. So that was something that was really important to us as the art world was really getting decimated in New York by the recession. And then the second part of it is I was a private art advisor. And I worked with a lot of clients who were building serious collections, but I was always asked by my friends if I could help them buy art. Mm-hmm. And it was a really challenging process because it was before anything had moved online. Mm-hmm. So we would have to, you know, take a day, go around the galleries. We weren't always treated great by the galleries. That was when the art world was super insular. And, you know, you could only see one show at a time and things were very, very pricey. So I thought there was a real void in the market between Z Gallery art decor, or wall decor, and fine art. So I thought ArtStar would be a great vehicle to really make art accessible. And it was when having art online and accessible was a very dirty word. You know, they still wanted it to be a very insular luxury good. So ArtStar, you know, we've seen more and more galleries come online, but ArtStar was kind of the first mover in that space. And people responded well to it. They were excited to be able to, you know, in the luxury of their home, pick out fun art.
Oh, completely. Well, yeah. A couple of things. First of all, let me backtrack for just a second. So are you an artist or did you study fine art? Like how did this path, you know, present itself?
Yeah, I can barely hold a pen. I am not an artist at all. I so admire people who can create things. I studied art history undergrad and I have my master's from Sotheby's in London in art. In art business. Mm-hmm. And it's always been my profession. So I'm otherwise unemployable unless I stay in art, but it's something, you know, my mom's interior designer and it's something I grew up with, was really appreciating art and design. And you know, something that's always been a big passion.
Incredible. Now, the art advisor role, you know, you're right. I'll agree with you 100%. You know, sourcing art can be intimidating. And, you know, I've worked with a lot of different clients on a lot of different projects. And art was never like an immediate part of our package. It was always kind of an add-on at the end. And I'll be honest with you, like our principal designer is very knowledgeable in art, but the rest of us weren't so much. So we were always kind of hoping that it wasn't something that the client wanted to incorporate into their design package, just because not only was it challenging, as you just described, but it's also a little intimidating. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for you to be that resource to designers must have been huge.
Yeah, and we love working with designers. It's been our main focus since 2014. We have a dedicated designer salesperson. We have a trade program. And we do a lot of free art advisory where designers say, I have this package, I have this presentation, I have this project, can you help me pick art? And you know, we'll send a whole proposal, we'll send suggested sizes, images, framing, and really try and make them comfortable with the decision. Art can be very personal. And there's also a feeling that it's very permanent. Right? Like people don't feel as committed to their couch forever, but they feel like art is forever. So it becomes pretty overwhelming picking it. So we really try and, you know, be as much assistance as possible.
Now, you mentioned that your mom is an interior designer, so I'm sure that that probably played a big role in helping you kind of, you know, mold your business model to appeal not only to consumers, but to designers as well.
Very much. And we did a lot of research when we started adding our trade program and all the different assets for designers. We would have trade breakfast and run ideas by different designers to see how they're looking at the site, see what images they're interested in, what colors they're interested in. And we do add a new artist. We were at a cadence where it was about two artists per week to try and stay on top of trends, match design trends, and, you know, really provide new images so they could see what's new and fresh.
I think that's one of the things that I love about ArtStar and that I've learned about you over the last few years is that you guys are like really here to help. Like that's your big message in general, not just to designers, but anyone who wants to invest in your services, whether they're consumers or designers or whatever the case may be. Like you ask the questions and you're here to help. And just when I thought I knew everything about you, you just told me about this little collector line that you have. So not only do you have, I'll let you, actually, why don't you describe to me like the variation in art that you procure for ArtStar, and then tell us a little bit about this little collector line, which I think is a perfect example of you asking questions of the design community or just of the art enthusiast community in general, and then responding to it.
Yeah. So our rule on ArtStar is we have to want to own it ourselves. We have to be itching to get it on the site so we can buy it for our own homes. So we've created a very specific brand and aesthetic. It's mostly colorful, it's joyous, it's happy, it's fun. I think that's what really sets us apart from any competition. And when we've tried to take stuff on in the past that we know is going to sell, or we've seen with competitors selling well, but it's not on brand, it doesn't sell. Hmm. People go to ArtStar for our curatorial view. It's very specific, but it's very fun. And then when we started ArtStar, we started a separate little project called Little Collector, which is featured on ArtStar. And we asked contemporary artists to make we asked artists to make contemporary art for children. Mm. And they loved the idea. And they started making really fun stuff that they either wanted to make for their own child's room or, you know, projects that they've had in the back of their mind. And now they have a reason to do it. And we were just amazed with what people came up with. So it's super fun. And a lot of it is art that will grow with your kid. So if you have something over the crib, they're going to like it also as a teenager. They're really cool, interesting, fun images. And that's been, I would say that's been a huge part of our business, actually.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I think it's cool that you reach out. You mentioned earlier that you really tend to reach out to and support like emerging artists. Which I think is exciting, and it definitely reflects in your website and what you guys do and the type of art that you procure. And I love the fact that you said that you want to own it for yourself. That's really kind of like your criteria on selecting art. And I will agree. And, you know, for those listeners who haven't looked yet, I'm sure they're going to go online immediately and check it out if they haven't already. It's that vibe that like when you're in your favorite boutique hotel and you're like, whoa, where did this art come from? It's so cool. Or, you know, it's that kind of vibe. And I'm especially excited about the photography that you've incorporated into the line for a couple of reasons. A, because that's kind of my jam. That's what I like. But B, again, going back to designers and kind of their that intimidation factor, there's something about photography that is a little less intimidating to me, and I'm speaking only for myself. Maybe other designers feel the same way, just because it's a little more relatable. And so I think you guys have a nice balance of that.
It's interesting about the photography and what you said about hotels. We have been doing a lot of hotels now. where we'll go in and we'll curate a collection of photography that goes with the brand that people want to take selfies in front of, then they tag the property. We did the theme suites at the Palms in Las Vegas, and the most fun suite is the Bachelorette suite. And it used to be Barbie themed. And when they redid it, they went in, stripped all the Barbie out, did a really, it was Avenue ID in LA, did the design, did a beautiful, very sophisticated yet feminine design. Mm-hmm. And then our collection was all photography of girls being naughty, but it was all shot by women. So it was really fun. And I think it really elevated the idea of a bachelorette suite from Barbie back to like girls behaving badly, but still done with a feminine eye. And, you know, we've really been focusing on the hospitality clients of understanding what they need and then creating art that pops and creating that art moment in their properties.
You know, and a lot of inspiration comes from hospitality, both for consumers and designers. I mean, as a design professional, I know I'm constantly looking for different and unique places to stay whenever I travel. And then I absorb everything around me from, you know, the finishes to layouts and flow to the art on the walls. And it really inspires me. And I know from experience and from talking to other designers that a lot of times when we're speaking with clients and we talk about things like art, for example, very often it's like, oh my gosh, I was just at a hotel in Las Vegas and I saw XYZ and I thought it was so cool. I'd love to have that vibe in my home. So yeah. You know, it definitely comes full circle.
And it helps brand the property. The Palms did a huge part of their rebranding was with their art collection. And we just did the installation on the Aria villas in Vegas, and they invested heavily in their art collection. Right. You know, the travelers now are so sophisticated. They really expect more than just wall decor. So we're having a lot of fun with it.
Going back to the curating really quickly. So you guys, you know, when you're curating art from artists, there are limited editions and things like that. How does that work with you? Explain to us how that kind of elevates the art.
Yeah. So everything on ArtStar is curated. It's invite only. We hold in-house curatorial meetings once a month and we all vote on it. And then we'll start the process with the artist where we'll reach out and we'll either say, we love this, this, and this image, or will you collaborate with us and create something new? And then everything is a limited edition. So it does hold its value. It is fine art. It's not a poster. Everything is authenticated with a certificate signed and numbered by the artist, and it sells out. So, you know, there is a sense of urgency, and it's not going to be on every wall. It's not mass. So it's still special and unique.
Yes, I know it sells out because I was obsessed with that Beastie Boys print.
Oh, yes. Gone. Yes.
But I'm waiting for it to come back. I don't know. I mean, I know people, so maybe, just maybe.
I don't even have that one.
Oh, man. So, Chrissy, let's circle back to your business of design. When you launched this business, and I consider it a business of design, we're all in the same industry. You know, what were some of the biggest challenges? You mentioned that, you know, bringing something like art online at a time when people still felt that it was a very in-person, you know, sensory experience. Was that a challenge when you were launching the business? Like, what was your biggest challenge when you launched your business?
Yeah, that's a great question. The biggest challenge was the technology. So when we were building the website, it was in 2010. Mm. Websites were incredibly expensive. This was pre-Shopify, pre-Squarespace. Yeah. You had to have developers and then, oh my goodness, like all the software that went into it. I didn't even know how to get into my own backend. I didn't know how to do a return. You had to have developers on staff, hosting. It was wild. And now with things like Shopify, it's like a week and $200 and you have an e-commerce store. it's amazing. Like really, and I tell Shopify this all the time, they have changed our business. So I would say the technology is was the biggest learning curve for us. Mm-hmm. The biggest challenge in the beginning and convincing artists to do it. You know, being mm-hmm. online was still very risky. And being at our price point was still very risky. But now, you know, they love it. So it's evolved.
Awesome. What would you say is your absolute favorite thing about your business? Like the thing about your business that you just love waking up to every morning?
Oh, I love, well, my favorite thing to do is art fairs, because yeah. I get to talk to collectors directly. I get feedback on the site. I get to tell about our artist. I get to tell the story behind their work. I get to make people really comfortable with asking questions. I love when they ask questions because I'm really excited about everything we bring to the fairs. And I love to see how people receive it. We just finished BDNY in New York, and it was 2 days of trade. And it was just so fun to see our customers in person and to meet new ones and to talk about projects and talk art. It's just, it's my passion. And I love it.
Yeah. That's where I was introduced to you guys a couple of years ago.
That's right. That's BDNY. Right. We had that fun dinner. Yeah.
Yes. We're waiting for you to come out to the West Coast. Hopefully we'll see you in Las Vegas in 2022.
Hopefully. Yeah. That'd
be really exciting. Let's talk about a couple of tips for designers as far as procuring artwork, just, you know, on an educational side of things. What are some of your big tips for design professionals when it comes to procuring art, you know, that would really kind of elevate the process? I know when we talked, you know, offline, we were talking about different challenges like framing and things like that. What are some tips that you might have for designers that will make the process a little more fulfilling for them and their client?
Yeah, well, it's actually good you brought up framing, because the frame really elevates the piece of art. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people, not designers, more consumers, who try and save money on the framing, and it just really devalues the whole look. So I think a very expensive, really well-designed frame is so key. But as far as the process goes, you know, we have studied how designers use the website, and we've really tried to install more functionality for them. We have a scale finder so they can see the overall size when you add different frames, because those are all different. We're doing a video so you can really see the quality in person, because it's a big leap of faith for a new designer to order something online they haven't seen before, especially with a client's money. They really want to know its quality. So we're doing a lot more work there so they can have full confidence that what they're buying for the client is really going to show up, you know, lovely. And we're seeing a lot of trends in design where everything's sort of neutral, and then the art is the real pop.
Yeah.
And so we love having artwork that's a really saturated color or something really fun, where that's the little pop in the room and the personality. And then everything else can be more of the ivories and the neutrals.
Yeah. One of the things that I like about your website is the ability to kind of click on the image and then select the different types of the different colors of framing, and as well as matting, for that very reason. So that sometimes, you know, you just have like this stark white wall, and then you have such a graphic and colorful piece of art that you still want to mat and frame. And I like the ability to see it just in a white mat and a white frame, so that that blends in with the wall and the art really does its job, or, you know, vice versa. So that, you know, providing it an opportunity to really kind of stand out in its environment. So I think that that tool is really cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And I also agree too that scale is important, and scale is one of those intimidating factors. A lot like when we're selecting and specifying lighting fixtures, like I've always, to this day, I'm still nervous about specifying, especially pendants. You know, when, when you're talking like statement chandelier, you're trying to, in your mind, you know, kind of envision the scale and the volume of the space. And it's a little scary.
It is. I mean, that, and especially when you add a frame, add a mat, the overall size changes, and it changes significantly. So, you know, if you're in a tight space, that matters. Other things we do for designers is we have a blog where we give tips like how to do a gallery wall, how to mix and match frames. We also have new functionality. It's not on every piece, but we're adding it on more and more products, where we pair them with other pieces. And it's not necessarily work by the same artist, but it's like, this piece looks really chic next to this one. So if you need two pieces together, or three pieces together, or four pieces together, or, you know, hung as gallery wall, these all work really well. And it takes a lot of the guesswork out for designers. And our marketing person does that, and she has an incredible eye for putting pieces together.
What are some tips that you might have for design professionals as far as like level of investment when it comes to like, okay, this is the value of it. And, you know, this is how it aligns with your overall level of investment. Like, cause that can be a challenge too, yeah. You know, even though when we're designing, it's usually to the tune of a large number, yeah. You know, there's the reality is, you know, when we're saying this piece is $2,000 and this piece is $12,000, you know, we have to be able to sell that. What are some tips you might have for designers when it comes to that?
Well, it's funny. After one art fair, I ended up doing all the delivering myself. And so I saw the homes of who was buying our art. And it was a New York art fair. It was one of two different types of people. Either they had the big expensive whatever in the living room, and then we were doing the kids' rooms, the guest rooms, the playrooms, the bathrooms, because you need art in all those places and you're not putting a de Kooning in the playroom. And then the other type were people who had beautiful apartments. They were investing in it. They wanted a very nice piece of art, but they're not buying a $40,000 piece of art because that's not their passion. You know, that money is going elsewhere. So they have a great art star piece that's maybe $2,500 and that's over their sofa. Mm-hmm. So we just saw the two different, you know, priorities. And we've been doing a lot of second homes since quarantine. So we do a lot of beach houses and Hamptons houses. You know, where people don't want to have their whatever original piece, but they still want to have, they don't want wall decor.
Right.
So we do a lot of that now too.
Yeah. We don't want to hang another mirror.
Well, that's our biggest competitor. It's so funny. We're always damn mirrors, like no more mirrors.
It's like, it doesn't have to be a mirror. Okay. Come on.
Put something else in the entry. But that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So I will say that, you know, I am not nearly as intimidated by art as I used to be. One of the reasons why is because I began to invest in art myself. And in doing that, I've shown myself that not everything has to have this giant price tag. Not everything has to have this pedigree. It just needs to be appealing to me. You know, I have to like it, kind of like you said, you'd want to own it yourself. It just has to be appealing to me. And the moment that I, was no longer afraid to like mix and match, mm-hmm. and mix graphic and photography with painting. And that was like a game changer for me.
Well, that looks collected, you completely. Know, that style, it looks like I didn't go out and buy it all at one fair at one time, but I collected it over time. Mm-hmm. Or some came from your family, or some came as a gift, or you bought this on vacation together. And I love that mixed look. Like that's a real collector.
I think that's one of those things that most people see when they're traveling or in their favorite hotel and they don't understand what's so cool about it. They just know it's cool. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And it's that mixed, it's that collected, you know, approach to it, I think. And you know, hey, that's what designers are for.
Yeah.
So Chrissy, we have some signature questions here on the podcast, starting with your secret to survival. So I always ask all of my guests, you know, what would you say is the secret to your survival in this industry? And, you know, most of my guests are, you know, designers or architects or builders, but like I said, you definitely fall into the category of creative design as well. So what would you say is the secret to your survival in this business?
I think it's to find your style and to lean into it. Find, you know, what is your look? What makes you happy? What do you love? And make that your signature and be confident in it. And people will find you and go to you because you have that specific look instead of because you can copy somebody else's look.
Yeah. I think right now going niche is a very big thing in the design community that people are talking about more and more. And ArtStar is a perfect example because you're not trying to be everything to everybody. And I can appreciate that. I mean, I've gone through your, well, I've tried to go through your whole website. There's a lot of content on there, but it's not like the other websites where you're like, okay, this is just a little bit of everything thrown into this giant website. And it's just, it's too much. It's overwhelming.
Yeah. And, you know, with working with designers, we find that having it curated and tightly curated is saving their time as well. Mm-hmm. The websites that take everyone and have 10,000 different images on there, ugh, it just takes too much time to sort. It's not fun. You know, you should come to ArtStar, know it's fun and colorful, and you're going to find something you love there, but it shouldn't take more than 10 minutes to find it.
Right, right. I agree. So what would you say is the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then when you launched this business?
Don't spend any money.
care to elaborate?
Yeah. Going back to the technology part, you think people are going to use your product one way or your website one way or your style one way, and they're not. So don't spend anything. Make it small and simple. Watch, listen, and evolve. You know, see how your customers use things. See what they want. Listen to them instead of trying to predict what you think.
Oh my God, that is such a good point. That is such good advice, is to let them show and tell you before you invest. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Start small and take feedback.
Great advice. Great advice. And how would you say that you pay it forward in the design community?
Very much through our internship programs. We do interns every 6 months. They're always in college. They're either from Parsons, or we just had a wonderful intern from College of Charleston. Most of them are interested in design, either graphic design or interior design. And we really mentor them and invest in them, especially the ones that aren't based in New York. I tell each intern, I will get you X amount of meetings with whoever you want to meet with in your field. But once you graduate, no one's going to meet with you anymore. They're only going to do it when you're a student, because it's learning, it's education. Instead of asking for a meeting with the editor of WWD because you're looking for a job, they're not going to take the time. But if you're a student, they're going to meet with you. So we really try and pay it forward by investing in the next generation of design professionals and giving them really solid work experience.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And Chrissy, this is a bonus question, because I'm curious now learning kind of like how the business started and what the intention is. And I'm curious, what would you say is next for ArtStar? Like, where is it going? What should we expect?
West Coast. We really want to expand on the West Coast. If that's an ArtStar team on the West Coast, or, you know, physical retail on the West Coast, that's where we see ourselves going. Tri-State and New York and Florida are amazing markets for us. But we just see such growth in California. And people there are willing to have a little fun with their homes. You know, they go big and they go bold. So we're there for them.
Perfect. Ooh, I love the sound of that a lot. Well, Chrissy, I think this has been a valuable conversation, because like I said at the beginning of the podcast, you've been such a big supporter of Design Biz Survival Guide, and we appreciate that. But also, you know, art is kind of something that we've neglected to talk about all of this time. And actually, I feel like maybe it should be a reoccurring theme, because it's definitely a key part of what we do as design professionals. And, you know, any insight that I think we can deliver as a platform to designers to help them through this process, I'm sure is valuable. So I appreciate you taking the time, and hopefully we can have you back again soon.
I would love it. I would love it. So fun.
How can we find and learn more about you and ArtStar? Give us the website, and the Instagram probably are the two most common.
So the Instagram is at ArtStar, and we're very active on Instagram. We do a lot of design features and a lot of storytelling with our artist. So we like to show the process behind the work, show their studios, really connect with their personalities, as well as a lot of content on designers we work with, showing off their work. And then our website is artstar.com. We do have a trade program, which is artstar.com/trade. And Cassandra usually responds within 30 seconds and is on a call with you.
She really does.
Yeah. She loves a question too. She's very helpful. Engage with us. Cause we want to work with more trade. They're wonderful.
Really quickly, what are some of the benefits to the trade program?
The trade program, you get a trade discount. You get first notice of any new releases. So you get to see it and get first access before anyone else, which is important when things do sell out. You get invites to different fairs, trade fairs, art fairs. And we're doing a new, you get fun stuff in the mail too. We're doing a new thing with our top designers where they're getting rainbow bagels delivered to their office. We try and always have something fun and different that we send designers that we engage with.
Very on brand. On brand. Great. Well, listen, thanks again for taking the time. I really do appreciate it. This has been a fun conversation for me, and I hope the listeners enjoy it as well. And we'll talk again soon.
Awesome. I love it. Thanks, Rick.
You bet.
I had so much fun talking with Chrissy and learning about her creative business journey, and I truly appreciate her commitment to being of service to the art and design community. As we discussed, the process of curating art for clients and projects can be intimidating. I think Chrissy's approach to curating a cohesive collection of art from a diverse cross-section of the art community makes ArtStar one of the coolest resources out there, making art selection a fun and exciting part of the design process. We've talked quite a bit on this podcast about defining your lane, and Chrissy is such a great example of that. Her business and her brand are consistent, predictable, and reliable. You know, when she said that when curating art, her criteria is that she has to want to own it herself, a light bulb went off in my head. We can't be all things to everybody, but we can be the very best at what we bring to the table by owning our creative philosophy and sticking to it. That is what builds a brand. Thank you, Chrissy, for sharing your journey and for creating such a wonderful resource for designers and art enthusiasts. If you love this podcast episode, please share with a friend or colleague. If you're listening on iTunes, please take a moment to leave a review. That really helps boost our visibility on the platform to reach more design professionals just like you. And speaking of reaching more designers just like you, have you checked out our Member Vault platform yet? This is our response to the need for an accessible, convenient online community with more information and resources to help you take your design business to the next level. You can take a tour direct from our website by clicking the Member Vault tab on the homepage. We have some incredible discussions, programs, and content planned in the coming months, but you have to be a subscriber to access it all. So join today. Thanks for listening to today's podcast episode. And until next time, be safe, be kind, and get out there and inspire.